Welcome back. This is iFaith 84, David's Two Houses, Part 2. We saw in the previous lesson that the first house, the one that David wanted to build, is simply the temple of God, God's temple in Jerusalem, which Solomon, David's son, would construct. David deeply wanted to do this. Recall that he had captured the city of Jerusalem. He had brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city with great ceremony and zeal. He had made preparations for the building of the temple. And this included not just plans and ideas. This is budget. This is money. And he had prayed a lot about this. And yet he finds out that this is not to be. He was beginning to explain his wish to the prophet Nathan. And Nathan said, absolutely, God is with you. And then later that night, God told Nathan, wrong. You have to go back and tell David that that's wrong. And of course, David would be disappointed because this seemed to be the crowning achievement of his life's work. This is the climax, the culmination, the apex, the zenith. This, it can't be any more important than that. And just imagine the disappointment when Nathan said, my bad. Actually, you're not going to build this house. You're not even going to see this temple. Well, we pick it up where we left off last time in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 7. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you've gone. I've cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Let's just pause for a moment. God reminds David that he was a shepherd. And he had taken him from being a shepherd over animals, basically to becoming a shepherd over God's people, a king. And describing a king as a shepherd is very common in the ancient world. And God had blessed David, he had made things go well, and he was creating security for Israel, a place where they could live and not have to be on the run. Of course, we know, if we've read the Old Testament, that this place ends up not being permanent. Yes, the temple is built. This is an exciting time. But, you know, less than 500 years later, the Israelites have lost Jerusalem. The temple's destroyed. They're forced out. They're living somewhere else. They're in Babylon or Egypt or other places. But still, this is exciting stuff. Let's continue. God says, I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. Now, wait a minute. I thought he wasn't going to have a house. Well, this is the second house. He's not going to get the house he thought he was getting. He's going to get a far better house. Now, this is not like you're looking for a place to live, a flat or a house. We're not talking about that. The first house is the temple. Well, yeah, that's stone and gold. That's a real thing. But listen to the explanation. The Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, that is, David will be dead, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. That's Solomon. He is the one who will build a house for me. Okay, that's house in the first sense. That's the temple. And I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. God will establish Solomon's throne forever. Well, Solomon only lives to about age 60. And he has a son and a grandson and great-grandson, and they rule down into the 500s. And that's the end. Of course, reading the Old Testament from the perspective of the New Testament, we understand Jesus Christ is a son of David. And Jesus Christ is the descendant of David through whom that reign, that kingdom, is in force and will always be in force forever. It's a descendant of David And that's why Matthew 1 speaks of Jesus as the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. This is what's really going on. Now it says, I will be his father, he'll be my son. That's when a king is appointed, he's described as becoming God's son. It's like a royal adoption. I will never take away my love from him as I took it away from your predecessor. That would be King Saul. Saul, David, Solomon. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. So this is house in the second sense. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. So the kingdom, the dynasty, and dynasty is when a king has a son, and that son becomes the next king, and his son becomes the next king, and it's in the family. If it jumps to other families or there's a coup d'etat, it's not a dynasty. The northern kingdom of Israel had a few dynasties, but it was highly unstable politically because they were unstable spiritually. The northern kingdom were idolatrous. The southern kingdom of Judah, capital Jerusalem, had its problems, but they were more stable. And this dynasty goes from David all the way to Jesus Christ. So again, as Christians, if you're a Christian, you understand what's at stake here. This is so important. The Lord is the real architect. So the second house is far more important than the first house. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. And then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, listen to David's amazing prayer. Who am I, Lord God? What is my family that you have brought me thus far? And if this were not enough in your sight, my God, you've spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men. And now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised, so that it will be established and that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, the Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. So now can you hear that? The house of your servant David. This is his family, his descendants. This is the dynasty. This is God's kingdom. This is not just a building. Finally, you, my God, David prays, you, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. You, Lord, are God. You have promised these good things to your servant. Now you have been blessed, you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever. This is David's prayer. Can you see? He's lined his will up with God's will. They're fully aligned. No resentment. He has no problem that he's not the one building the temple, the first house, because now he understands God's plan for the second house, that is the succession of dynasty that will lead all the way to Jesus Christ. That's so much more important. What an amazing change in perspective. The beginning of the chapter, David thought, well, yes, I'm getting old. Before I die, I want to build the temple. Certainly that was disappointing to be told he can't do it. But what he's part of is so much greater, and it will last infinitely longer than the temple would have. Of course, it's impossible, after this chapter, it's impossible to read the Bible and conceive of the Messiah except as one of David's descendants, because God says, I'll set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. We've got a dynasty. We've got a succession that will never end. And the Old Testament keeps coming back to that theme, that it's a son of David. For example, in Isaiah 11 or Jeremiah 17 or Ezekiel 34 or Amos 9 or Micah 5. And you can find a lot of other passages. And this is why in the time of Jesus Christ, the Jews, although confused about the Messiah, they did understand he would be a son of David, a descendant of David. Well, this all points towards Jesus Christ. And it reminds you and me that we're part of something far bigger than we can imagine. The things that we consider to be our life's work, and particularly things we can measure and we can see in this lifetime, may not be the most important thing we're doing. It may well be something that comes afterward, something that we've contributed to, prepared for, but God's plans are so much bigger than ours. Our plans are mainly focused on the 60 or 80 years we might live. God is looking at things eternally. And this chapter is important in the Old Testament because it shows that the faith of God's people, of Judaism, is more than just something that happens in a building, in a temple. It's something that's carried on generation to generation all the way to the Messiah. And again, you and I are part of something far bigger than we probably appreciate, far bigger than we can possibly imagine. I'm thinking of the words of Ephesians 3:20. Well, next time, we'll be entering 2 Chronicles. And the first message I'm eager to do is on the two Jezebels. You might wonder, what do you mean, two Jezebels? Isn't one enough? Well, you'll find out. And then the talk after that is on two reformers, as we look of two of Judah's kings who desperately tried to save the kingdom, although they could not. Inevitably, Babylon would take the southern kingdom into exile. Thank you for listening today. Let me end with prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you work in history, you work in our lives, and that we're part of something that's indescribably bigger and more valuable than just our contribution. Help us to be team players. Help us to deal with disappointment. Help us to be balanced and gracious towards all. And Lord, help us not to just fight for our reputation or for our influence, but to think of the future, to take the long view, and help us, even though we see it's fairly unclear, we think about the end of the world, the return of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, heaven, the new earth. This is hard to understand for us, but we trust you. Help us to be content and be relaxed that you have things in order, in control, and that you understand where things are going. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.